Thank you so much for being here. I'm sure others will kind of be making their way in. Let's go ahead and begin with prayer, and then we're going to kind of get started with some discussion, and then we're going to move along from there. Did you need to say something? Okay. All right, let's start with a word of prayer, and then we will begin today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us together to this place in this moment. Thank you for those people who have chosen to walk along with us, Lord, here in this place. Lord, this is a church that has such a rich history and tradition of faith. Lord, we pray that you would help us this morning as we just kind of begin this vision conversation, that you would help us to be people who have open eyes, open ears. Lord, help us to be freely willing to discuss, and I pray that you would move in the conversation that is had today. We love you, and we do all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. All right. In a moment, I'm going to introduce myself and our group, but I want to go ahead and begin with a simple discussion question that you will see here on this screen. Now, at each table, there is possibly somebody who was involved in our vision process. So there should be elders and staff, but also the vision team should be kind of sprinkled throughout at each table. That doesn't necessarily mean anything until a little later in our conversation. But for now, what we'd like you to do is just take about 3 minutes and see if y'all can answer this question right here. What is the difference between mission and vision? Ready? Go. All right, well, as you know, I'm Scott. I'm the preaching minister here, but I'm also on this vision team. I was kind of the spiritual director, I guess you could say. And so my job was to kind of keep us centered in prayer and kind of rooted in text. And that's kind of what I was able to do. We have three vision chairs, and these are the ones who kind of took on the bulk of the responsibility. You have Heather Shane, Nancy Dunlap, and John Fortenberry, and they're the ones who kind of coordinated the meetings, coordinated kind of how we were going to articulate things. You'll find out more about that probably throughout this process, but I have them all up here because this has really been a group process. Just so you know that everything that we're going to be talking about over the next 8 weeks did not originate with me. It did not originate with this group of people. It didn't originate with our staff. This has been a church-wide, elder-wide conversation, and it has been a spirit-led process. So today what I wanted to do is kind of walk you through how we got here. I know there's been several questions, and some people are saying, well, you know, we haven't heard a lot. Well, just so you know, we're going to kind of let you kind of get you up to speed a little bit on how we got to where we are right now. So what I wanted to do is kind of begin with just kind of a look at you know, how this all began. The seeds of this started back in the fall of 2000, and I would say maybe even 18. It's been an ongoing conversation. Questions that we've been asking of our elders and our staff. We've been asking questions like, what are our values? What are those things that we really love about ministry? What are those things that excite us? And whenever it comes to reaching the lost and reaching people, what is it that really, you know, makes us, you know, excited to come to church and to serve? This church, again, has such a rich history of doing so many different things. And so we've been having this conversation for quite some time. I can't remember when it was. It was probably the fall of 19 whenever staff and elders started going through this book. And by the way, some of this I'm going to mention in my sermon also today. But we started going through a book just kind of looking at what happens when culture around you changes. How do you reach a new culture? And it was kind of eye-opening because as soon as we started having this conversation, COVID hits. And suddenly the whole landscape kind of changes. So one day specifically, I was snooping around in the old building, exploring, whatever you want to call it. And I found a little bitty room on the second floor right across from the children's ministry where they keep all the VBS stuff. And it's just a small little room. You'd miss it. But I don't know how I got in there, but I started noticing all of these old directories from Johnson Street. The oldest directory I found was from 1923. it's really neat to see all the numbers there. It was like a letter and three or four numbers. So that was their phone, you know. That it was a whole different world in 1923. That's 101 years ago. 1923. And then I started looking through, and you know, a couple of minutes just turned into a couple of hours of me just looking at all of these directories and the faces and reading about the work that they were doing. And so I got to 1955, a directory in 1955. Here it is right here. I'm sorry, 1953. I don't know if you see this. And let me show you. I'm going to go zoom in a little bit. Where is it? Oh, okay. So this is from 1950. Hang on. Okay. 1953. And you kind of see it's a smaller, but you see a little bit of the work that is described on the right-hand side there. Summer meetings, encampments, fall meetings, spring lectureship, local mission work, foreign missions. And then I turned the page and this is what I saw. National missions, charity, and then a little bitty paragraph that said future expansion. Now in 1953, they were still at Harrison Irving. And that's right downtown where the county jail is now. Maybe there's a reason that they put a jail there, you know. But this is what it says. Yeah, it says, we hope to begin plans for future expansion this year, whether this expansion shall be increased facilities or by the use of facilities in other locations, it will be worked out by the officers. The budget will contain a figure which will be used for expansion. So I looked at that and I started thinking, that is so amazing, because the other kind of conversation we've been having over the last several years is that the decisions we make here and now aren't necessarily to benefit those who are in the here and now. A lot of the decisions, even personally, that you make are going to shape who you are going to be 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. The decisions we make now are going to determine our effectiveness and our influence, not only now, but 5, 10, 20 years down the road. And then I started looking at one particular bulletin or vision packet that was from 1955. And this is the front of that. And it's talking about, you know, everything that Johnson Street does. And you look through every little page. And they were totally committed, because apparently they had decided God is calling us to something more. God is calling us. And what I love about this age, which I don't think will fly today, is they assumed that their church, because they were going there, they were going to be involved too and fully invested too. So towards the very last of this book, there's a little paragraph that talks about how they wanted their people to be involved. And the very last page talks about our program, scriptural emphasis, the plan, and your part. The far right hand corner, I'll go a little closer. It says there are 175 men in the congregation, 415 families. We've been averaging about 1,100 per Sunday this year. We need to average 1,900 per Sunday to do all of our proposed work. This increased call for better than 50% increase in weekly contributions. That means that all will have to reevaluate their giving. Many who are now giving only $1 per Sunday must give $5. Some who are giving $5 must give $7.50. Even some who are giving larger sums must reevaluate. Notice this is in all caps. That's funny. If I were to say, hey, y'all need to reevaluate your giving, people would say, see ya. Some would. In fact, I had a guy in Houston tell me, you can't tell me what to give. Culture's changed. So we have the leaders of the church in 1955 said, you know, we're just going to go as if all of you are involved, because God is calling us to something. So our participation needs to increase as well. But they didn't just stop here. They had objectives on the back of this, and this is what they wanted to do. They wanted to have a new auditorium seating 1,800, classroom facilities to seat to accommodate 2,000 people, where God's word can be taught daily. A new congregation in Southwest San Angelo, a larger mission program, especially in the United States, a larger mission program in Europe, increased benevolent work of doing good to all as we have opportunity. They wanted facilities to teach Bible at San Angelo College as it grows, a televised program that'll present the gospel of Christ. And this is what I love. In fact, we plan to expand and do all the Lord's will as we come to know and understand His will. This means a reaching out in faith to meet every opportunity to teach, to preach, and to do good to all as we have opportunity. I don't know how many of you were here when this place moved, but every single one of those objectives were met in one way or another. And just look at that right there. Increased benevolent work. This is way before we even had the idea of Rust Street. A place at college to teach Bible. Now look at our Christian Campus Center. Here we are 60 plus years later, still reaping the benefits of the faith and vision of those leaders and those congregation so long ago. So I brought this to the elders. We kind of worked through this. And the elders, they came to this place where they said, you know what? Let's start exploring vision. Let's figure out what God is calling us to. Let's see what kind of vision God has for this church family for the next 60 years. And that's where we came whenever we got to that place where we commissioned a vision team. And I'm going to turn it off to Heather in just a second. But before we do, I want to ask another class discussion question. So if you can, just take a couple of minutes and answer this one question. Let me read this. I'm sorry. This is the statement in the scripture that they had on this particular bulletin. They knew very clearly what God's mission was. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was His eternal plan, which He carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. The church is important to God. The church is the hope of the world because we are who are representing Jesus to people. It's not a place we come and get together and talk. It is a place where we prepare to reach the world, because that's God's purpose, is to reveal His wisdom through us. This was known in 1950s, and it's known even still today. This is the question at your table. How have you and Johnson Street been impacted by the faith and vision of our past Johnson Street leadership? How have you personally and this church been impacted by the vision of our past leaders? Take about 3 minutes and go. All right. So I hope that was kind of neat what you just experienced just then. I hope that the stories are good and you may have learned something that you have not known before. The very first question we ask, what's the difference between mission and vision? Well, we all know the mission of God is very clear for His people. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This was the very last words of Jesus. This is the church's mission. Every church will have the exact same mission, right? Because that's who we are. We're followers of Jesus. We're just collectively followers of Jesus. And this is still what we do. Vision is just a little bit different. If you can think that the mission of God is the same for everybody, and you've got several different churches that are around, whatever those churches, you know, some are really close to us, some are in different countries, some are different nationalities, wherever the church is in the world, we all are different groups of people. We're all unique. We all have different skills and gifts. Now, some of us may be more similar than others, but if you look at churches like people, some churches are real social. Some churches are more introverted. more heady. You know, they want to hear, you know, the deep types of things. Some churches are more expressive. Some churches aren't. So we are all different. But wherever we are on the spectrum, wherever we are in this particular place, how we live out the mission of God is going to look a little different, just a little different between church to church. And how our gifts, where we are in San Angelo, what excites us about ministry, how we find a way to harness all of those to live into the mission of God is what the vision is all about. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in the sermon. You're getting a little preview, but that's what the vision of this vision work has been all about. So as we kind of bring up Heather and the group, we're going to be talking specifically about what happened once this team was commissioned, because this has been a church that has been rich in faith and boldness and courage and I would say vision from its inception. And so we're going to be kind of doing the same thing, trying to figure out where God is leading us. So Heather, you want to talk a little bit more about how this process came to be?
Will you click? Yep. Another time. Maybe I need the clicker. So as he mentioned, my name is Heather Shane. John, Nancy, and I have been co-chairs of this vision team. And we were commissioned in July of 2021. So now we're about 16 months into the process and finally getting to share this part with you. The vision team are here. If y'all will take a minute and stand, please, just so those can see in the church. It consisted of elders, staff, and members. Some of our vision team is not here. They're teaching Bible class and just unable to attend. Oh, how do I click?
Just the big center.
Okay. We began working in the area of context, assets, and spiritual energies. We had lots of work during that time. We had some subgroups doing work. Before we could figure out what our vision was going to be, we had to figure out where we as a church were right now. And so a lot of work went into this. I would say this was the grunt labor of our process. After that, we wrote a vision statement, which we shared with the church. I'm kind of giving broad overview, and then we'll get more specific here in a minute. Sorry for that. And then in May 2022, we hosted a vision development workshop where 105 of you met in this room to unveil the vision statement and really dream. What does this vision statement look like in the areas of worship, of our discipleship, of our ministries? How is this vision statement going to be in play in our future? And then we took that information and developed objectives, just kind of very similar to what Scott showed you from the past. We developed some objectives. So I'm going to go in a little more depth into each of these areas, but I wanted to give you a broad overview of our process. And then I want to take a minute right now and just stop and let the vision team members that are at your table share with you just for a few minutes. Share something from the process that was just meaningful for you, either where you saw God working, something that was exciting, something that you learned about Johnson Street in the process, or something that you dreamed for Johnson Street in the future. So I'm going to take a few minutes at your tables. If you do not have a vision team member, John and Nancy and Scott and I will come around and try to pinpoint those, and we can share with you. So, okay.
Raise your hand if you don't have a vision, okay?
Okay, we're going to wrap it up. We've got about 10 minutes left. And I just want you to know that today is kind of a look back at how we got here. We will not be able to explain everything that we did this morning, and that's why this is going to be an eight-week process. So you will hear more about the steps, specifically the objectives, in the weeks to come. But this is kind of an overview of our process. I don't think our committee knows this, but I have some pictures. Our committee work, like I said, was focused on context, assets, and energies. What we really wanted to do was get a clear picture of where we are as Johnson Street. Our context was included our history, our ministries, and our demographics. Our demographics have changed in the past, even from where we were 10 years ago to where we are now. Our ministries have changed. Our ministers have changed. There's been a lot of change just in the past, not even 3 years since COVID, but in the past 10 years. So getting a clear picture of where we are is important. This activity on the board, this is one of, I think, the vision team's favorite activities. We did an asset mapping where we looked at what are the assets that Johnson Street has. And when we listed those, it was impressive because we could not stop listing the assets we had, not just financially, not just facilities, but people. And the amount of people that we have at Johnson Street that are gifted in so many ways, gifted as teachers, gifted as doctors, gifted as servants and volunteers. The list goes on and on. And God has blessed us with facilities that were envisioned. How many years was that, Scott, your math?
How many years?
Over 60 years ago. So we have facilities and we have people. And then looking at the energies, we have the energy for a lot of things. Our church is very passionate in a lot of areas. Some of the things that come up most organically is Rest Street. We're passionate about Rest Street and it is doing good work there. Rams for Christ, right across the street or down the street, is just a place that, oh, and it's that way. Okay. Don't do direction. That way. But we have some natural energies, passions, and assets already in place. And before we see where God's leading us, we need to get a clear picture on where we are so that we understand when we have these ideas, is it in alignment with our assets and energies and gifts? If God is calling us to a vehicle mission, does that align with where our passions are? If God is calling us to a church plant across town, does that align with what we have? Not that either of those are what we found God to be calling us to, but just making sure that we were in alignment. So the committee met several times, monthly for sure. Some of the subgroups met more than that. The co-chairs and I met weekly, probably for a year, sometimes just in prayer, sometimes to do work. But we put all of this work together. And I was sharing with some of my groups, our context documents, I mean, we had 50 pages of documents for context. When we moved to assets, we had pages upon pages of responses to that. Our energies, several pages, an Excel spreadsheet just of all of the different energies and ministries. And probably the most difficult task of the vision team, I've asked them, was taking all that information and putting it down into a concise statement. And so you can see this board over here. I know you can't actually read it, but trying to get the verbs and the common themes and articulate everything that we had learned in the past 8-9 months into one statement was a challenge. So after our work in these areas, we created a vision statement. Even just, I know it seems like writing a sentence would not be that difficult. That was 9 months of work into a sentence because we wanted to make sure that it encompassed everything that we felt God was leading us to and had showed us during our work. And so this statement was unveiled. It was prayed over. It was presented to the elders for approval. And this statement was then shared during our vision development workshop. Some of you may be in these pictures too. So in May of 2022, we met in this room. I think I've said 105, very similar to this setup. And this was a unveiling of the vision. We shared our vision statement with you, and then we asked you to dream alongside of us. And so we looked in the areas of worship and discipleship and ministry and just really said, how can we, as a body of believers, use this vision statement to impact our community? And we sat in here for 3 hours and we dreamed and talked and shared. And I thought there was no way we were going to be able to fill 3 hours, and we could have gone longer. So you can see everybody was at tables. They shared, and we wrote notes, and we wrote notes, and we took notes, and we put them on post-its, and we collected all of that information. And so we, as a vision team, went back, and we had to go through all of that data. So we already had our data and contacts and assets and energies, and then we got all of these papers, and we looked at everything that everybody had shared, and that information was able to, or some clear themes came out. When we started seeing, hey, this goes with this. Some of the themes like intergenerational relationships.
That was big.
Engaging in the community and some key demographics in the community that we felt like we would be good. One of the things we said is we have great facilities spread out through town. How can we use them? So 8 objectives were written, kind of like what you've seen as the example, in the areas of worship, discipleship, ministry, and community. And I will, maybe the next. So now to the part of what we're going to be doing for the next 7 weeks. So like we said, this was a kind of an overview of how we got here. These objectives are going to be shared over the next 7 weeks. Next week, we're going to really focus on just that vision statement. And Nancy and John are going to share why we feel like it's important to partner and engage and embrace each other. And then we're going to spend some time, and each week we're going to go over either one or two of the objectives in depth. We're going to have some of our elders share with us and connect our objectives along with scripture. So you'll hear from elders, you'll hear from our vision co-chairs, some of our vision team members are going to jump up here too with us, and staff members, and we're really going to go through those objectives so you can see the why and the what of what we feel that God has called us to do within our work on the vision team. So that we will be in tables like this, there'll be opportunities for discussion, and the vision team members will be in the audience too. So that's what you can expect for the next 7 weeks. We really hope that you continue to come and engage in conversation. And if you have any questions, I think this is the next. Yeah. If you have any questions, you can email Scott. You can also just grab one of us vision team members. They have, you know, stood up. Nancy, John, and I are here. The elders are, you know, have all of these objectives too. So if you have any questions as we go, please feel free to ask us, because we want this to be a spirit of conversation as we can see where God's leading us. So.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Heather. I'm excited about what's coming, because I think there's going to be a lot of information that's shared, but hopefully you're going to start seeing some exciting themes are going to start to arise. And I'm just going to tell you, as I'm going to say in the sermon here in a little bit, this has been a process that has been bathed in prayer, and it has been bathed in following the Holy Spirit. That's one word, a phrase that has stood out to me ever since I had my very first conversation with you, is that the Holy Spirit is important here. You listen to the Holy Spirit. Your leaders seek the Holy Spirit. And in fact, I have not heard so much talk of the Holy Spirit in other churches that I've been involved in, but for you, it's almost as if it's just second nature. So I'm excited about where the Spirit's going to lead us, and I'm excited about the conversations that will happen. If you do have any questions, please let me know, or talk with one of our elders or our staff members. We will make sure that we find out how to point you in the right direction if we may not know exactly the answer. Each week, as she had mentioned, you're going to be talking about an objective. We're going to give you probably a little handout of something to take home, pray over that, and see, you know, how we can fit into that particular objective in this vision. We're going to be done for the day. I'm going to pray, and then we'll go over. But thank you for being here. Thank you, chairs, for everything you do. And thanks, Heather, for leading us through that this morning. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this church family. We are thankful that you have brought us where you have brought us, Lord, that this is a church that it seems has done so much good for this community and for your world, Lord. So much love has been shared to the people here. Lord, this church is way bigger than the walls that surround us. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us to just think big and think about what it is you want from us. Help us to be people who follow, who go all in with our full heart, And I pray that you would continue the work that you started. Lord, bring this work to completion, Lord, as you have said you are doing, not only in each of us, Lord, but in your church. Use us to share your wisdom with the world. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.